There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Test conversation. So, we're all, hey, man, how's it going?
Pretty good. I'm here.
I am also here. Can I have my headphones back?
Yeah, that's cool.
Right.
Should we just go for it?
Yeah.
Cover yourself in Lynx Africa and go for your life.
That's how we do things here.
Yeah.
On the Colpopsh podcast. Hello, everybody. My name is AJ. I'm joined today by my buddy Richard and our new friend Alex.
Hey, mate.
How's it going?
Hello.
This is the first podcast we've done in a while where Rich and I are actually in the same room instead of online, so the chemistry will be all over the place now. I've just flown in from Christchurch, and boy, are my wings tired. This is Film Franchise Fortnights on the Colpopsh podcast. This is a podcast where we watch and discuss a franchise every fortnight. However, things are about to change because last week we drew the Air Bud franchise, which is actually like four or five different franchises rolled into one. So for the next few weeks, instead of doing fortnight to fortnight, we're going to be doing week to week, each covering a different corner of the Air Bud mythos
and cinematic universe.
Yeah exactly. And since
the ABCU,
since the podcast no longer comes out on Fridays, we can't call it Film Franchise Fridays, and I tried for the life of me to think of something that is alliterative with Monday, but I thought of movie marathon
yeah.
Monday.
Yeah, so movie marathon Monday.
But it's more than just a marathon. They're all movies from
movie
the same series.
Maelstrom.
Marathon. Like, there's no word starting with M that means series.
Maelstrom.
All right. Movie Maelstrom Mondays.
Leave it with me.
Yeah, you'll think of something.
Like, in an hour, you're going to be like, boom.
Yeah, Maleficarum, no.
So we do have a guest star this episode, and it's
star.
Yeah, you're the star. Jeez. Your name is Alex, and what's your last name?
Oh, Jesus,
Richard, what's his last? You didn't tell me.
My last name is Powell.
Powell, Alex Powell,
as in Herbert Powell.
Yeah,
mm.
off the hot dog car episode of The Simpsons.
Nice. And we've got you on this episode, Alex. I nearly called you Herbert. We've got you on this episode, Alex, because you're a sports journalist, correct?
Correct. Well, journalist is a stretch.
Yeah. But you also have a podcast called Rosette.
Rosette Podcast. Get around it.
Yep. Nice.
I
don't know what that means, but that's why you're here, is because both Richard and I are relatively sport unknowledgeable. That was a dumb way to say that. And the fun thing about the first five Air Bud films, which we are covering today, is that they combine the American staples that is sport with dogs. They're not American staples.
I don't think you'd get it anywhere else, though, would you?
Yeah. You wouldn't get a New Zealand rugby dog.
Well, We'll crack into it, because I've got a fun story.
Great. So as usual on the show, we're going to be talking about the first, well, not as usual. I shouldn't have said as usual, and then I changed tact on where I was going to go. But anyway, we're going to be talking about the first five Air Bud movies out of the 14, I think, officially. But
jeez,
I'm not sure. I needed a recount. Anyway, the reason we've restricted it to five is because the first five were their own little series, commonly called the Air Bud series.
The Type 5.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's a comedy term.
And so this series is... What's the series about, Richard?
It's about a dog named Buddy, who's lovingly referred to as Air Bud, after he plays basketball and is surprisingly good at it for a dog. But then each new film, he plays a new sport as well.
Yeah.
And excels in all of them.
He's the Sonny Bill Williams of the canine world.
Very good. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah, see, that's
Sonny Bill Williams, he's a rugby player.
Or is he? Or is he a league player?
Or is he a boxer?
Or is he a boxer?
What is league?
Yeah. See, like, this is these are the kind of references you don't normally get.
No. Yeah. With just we're pulling in a lot of sports fans. Hey, sports fans! So, yes, the series is essentially about a dog, a golden retriever, who can play sport. And it's set in a little town called Fernfield.
Yeah, is it Ferndale in the one?
Ferndale's Shortland Street, isn't it?
Yeah. The Ferndale Strangler.
Yeah. It's set in a little town called Fernfield, which we grow to learn over the five movies. It must be a very small town. Everyone very much knows each other. And Buddy is owned by the Fram family. Josh Fram is sort of the human main character in the first three films.
Just if I could butt in, Fram's spelled with two M's.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a weird last name to choose for your fictional character, anyway.
It's very clearly made up.
Yeah.
You know?
But for no reason.
This is their main character, John Everyman.
Yeah. But it's not like they make a pun out of his name being Fram. Usually when your last name, when a character's last name is that specific, it's because they've got some wordplay for later down the track.
Well, and at no point, I mean, feel free to slag me off if I'm wrong, but at no point does Fram-tastic appear.
No. I'm pretty sure it doesn't.
I'll have to rewatch them to double check.
Yeah,
and we will many times. So the first film was simply titled Ear Bud,
and it was Fram-tastic.
It was Fram fabulous, and it came out in 1997. It was directed by a guy named Charles Martin Smith. What does Ear Bud 1997 have on Rotten Tomatoes, boys?
What's that, a 5 or 10?
100.
Oh, so geez. Okay.
And so Rotten Tomatoes, it's not like its score. It's how many people enjoyed it. So
out of 100, I'd probably go for mid-30s.
I'm going to go like mid-50s.
It's 45, directly in between what you both said.
I'll get you next one.
So there's a website called The Ringer, which is like a blog website, and they have a article on there called the Earbud Plausibility Scale, and on how plausible it would be that a dog could play the sport in the movie.
That's what we were talking about this morning.
Yeah. And they ranked Earbud number one as number one, as the most likely sport a dog could play.
Fuck off.
What's this movie about? Anyone want to take this?
I mean, it's just the classic archetypal story, boy meets dog. Yeah. Sorry, dog runs away from abusive owner.
Clown. I think you should mention a clown.
He's a clown, yeah. I mean,
played by Mr. Noodle's brother, Mr. Noodle, from
Elmo's
World.
Just off that opening sequence, I mean, I was hooked because it combines two of my strongest passions, and that's loving dogs and hating clowns.
Nice. Very good.
Yeah. Boy meets dog eventually. Boys moved. I'm all over the shop today.
That's all good.
Boy moves to town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, before that, boy's dad dies in a plane accident.
Mm. He
was a pilot. And something like they ran out of fuel, which, I mean, surely 101.
Just don't go into it, Earbud. Like, I don't need to know the horrific specifics of how this man died.
Yeah, the Earbud universe, extended universe.
It's kind of ironic that
it's in the prequel novels.
Yeah.
It's kind of ironic that it's Earbud then, and he died in a plane crash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where was I?
So what did Josh, the boy, and his dad used to do to bond?
They... wait for it, played basketball.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so boy moves to town. He's all like, oh no, what do I do with my life? It's like, mate, you're 11. he's real lost. For some reason they decide he's not going to play on the basketball team, he's going to manage the team, which, I mean, that's really a real bit of administrative wizardry, putting a child into it.
They were just trying to be nice.
Well, yeah, meets a dog that's for some reason play basketball.
Yeah, well, the clown taught him.
Did it, right.
Well, we kind of learned that the clown, as using Buddy as part of his act, like throws balls at him.
Right. The dog is insanely good at, has very good hand eye, or sorry, poor eye. Someone want to take over? I'm
Richard, over here.
So basically,
like the game basketball itself, you are passing.
I'm subbing out.
Yeah.
Well, so the thing about this movie is that, like, for a movie about a dog playing basketball, he doesn't touch a basketball until like the 48 minute mark.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was watching it, and I was messaging AJ at the time. And I was like, oh, they've just started playing basketball. I was like, I could not tell you a single thing that has happened in the film up until now.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, I still would struggle. But basically, the dog starts playing basketball.
Incredibly well.
Yeah. It's like the big championship game. And they're like, oh, Earbud's going to have to play. And then someone's like, no, he can't play. And then...
because this is the crux of the film, if not the whole series.
they check the rule book. And sure enough, there is no rule that explicitly states that a dog can't play basketball. So they have to let him play.
Yeah.
And they win the big championship.
much to the clown's chagrin, because he...
Oh, yeah, the clown comes back.
He goes to jail at some point.
Cool, because he finds out that Buddy's famous now, and he's like, I want my dog back to exploit it.
He was getting ready to fob them off to the pound.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and they go to the worst judge of all time at the end of the film.
Who's the dog
choose. What's going on? Oh, custody cases. Where's the child? I'm like, no, it's a dog. It's like, didn't you read your fucking notes beforehand? Like...
And he lets the dog choose which owner.
Just like C-Spot Run, if anyone...
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of dog movies.
But then, the same thing. Yeah, he's like, I'll let the dog choose. But then, like, Buddy looks like he's going to choose the clown. But then he, like...
Which is stupid, because Buddy is obviously going to choose Josh.
Yeah.
But he doesn't even like the clown. There's no question.
Nah.
Anyway, so this film was actually based around an already existing dog who could play basketball.
What?
And not the other way around, as my viewing party for one of the films thought. It's like, oh, they trained a dog? No. They got the dog, and they were like, let's make a movie about
this. Someone got on the phone to Disney and went, go, go, go.
Yeah, exactly. The real Buddy, who is the one you see in the film...
Is that his actual name?
It's his actual name.
Okay.
He was owned by a guy named Kevin DeCicco and rose to fame in clips on America's Funniest Home Videos, Late Show with David Letterman, and even appeared in an episode of Full House before Air Bud, which... could imply that Full House, and by extension through crossover episodes, Family Matters, Step by Step, Perfect Strangers, Boy Meets World, and Girl Meets World, as of course, Fuller House, all fit into the ABCU. The real Buddy, this is fun, the real Buddy sadly passed away a few months before the film was released.
Oh, do you reckon that was the catalyst
for
the film?
I wrote that this makes him the Heath Ledger of dog actors. So he's both the Sonny Bill Williams of dogs and the Heath Ledger of dogs. Buddy contracted a rare form of cancer, which resulted in the amputation of one of his legs 6 months before his eventual death, but he could still shoot hoops.
And 4 months before the big game.
Yeah, and... Well, hang on, if he was the Heath Ledger, does that mean it was like knocking about with one of the Olsen twins?
Full House?
Full House, yeah.
He was in Full House, so probably both of them. He was nearly 10 years old, and his memory was honoured in the form of a dedication, which appeared in Air Bud Golden Receiver, which we'll get to in just a moment.
I just wanted to point out as well that it was always funny in the opening credits how it was like, animals trained by Kev DeCicco.
Yeah.
Kev, what a sicko.
My first question for you guys regarding the Air Bud.
Go.
In general, but mainly the first film. A dog that can play basketball. Is that impressive? Newsworthy?
Yeah, because what you'll notice from the film is that at no point does Buddy miss a shot.
True, that's true.
He does not miss a single shot. That is some lethal accuracy from
downtown. Do you reckon that was in his contract?
Well, you'd hope so.
I think they just threw a ball at a dog and then filmed it going through a hoop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, there are quite a few, to the film's credit, there are quite a few shots where you see both Buddy, like, biting the ball.
In the second one, it is all, and onwards, it's all film trickery. I don't know if that would appear on the news. I don't know if a dog being able to play basketball...
You are grossly overestimating the integrity of the news.
Okay.
As someone who works in the news, I would say it wouldn't appear in sport. It would appear in the little two-minute kicker at the end.
Yeah, it'd be on the breakfast show.
On breakfast.
Okay.
Yeah. Be like, oh, and check this out. This is something that's come out of Twitter at the moment. It's a dog that can play basketball. Check this out.
Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about.
When I was...
She'll never listen.
When I was looking up stuff for Air Bud, I watched a James Corden show clip called...
Oh my god, sorry dude.
There's a new Air Bud in India, and I was like, is this a movie I don't know about? I have to consume all facts about Air Bud as possible. And it turned out it was just James Corden's opening monologue, which ended with him talking about a dog in India that was rescued from a storm drain by a drone. And I was like, fuck, I watched an entire James Corden clip just to get to the point that it's not what I wanted it to be.
Carpool karaoke, Air Bud.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, that was me as a dog.
So, comparing Air Bud to this podcast's current gold standard of dog movies, which I'd say is Beethoven. Would you agree, Richard?
Are we including 101 Dalmatians Lady and the Tramp?
What about C-Spot Run?
That's not a franchise. They never made a sequel.
Sorry.
Us our C-Spot Run sequel.
C-Spot Run 2. This time it's personal.
Yeah. C-Spot Run faster.
Hey, that's good.
I'd say the 101 and Lady and the Tramp are probably better films.
I guess,
in terms of what I'd classify as a dog movie, Beethoven,
Exactly. But I would say I would say the initial nugget of an idea that is Ear Bud, which is a kid whose basketball playing father dies and then he meets a basketball playing dog. I feel like that nugget of an idea is better than what Beethoven's about. But Beethoven is by far a better movie.
Well, yeah, Beethoven's not even about the dog.
Yeah.
He's just like, yeah, he's just the...
Yeah, exactly.
But see, the difference is that Buddy's a good dog. Mm. Buddy's a good boy.
Mm.
He's always there. Beethoven's...
Beethoven's not a good dog.
Beethoven's a dickhead.
So before we go on to the next film in the franchise, I do have one single up top useless statistic.
Go on.
And we all know what it is because I've been making such a big deal out of it in our previous episodes. Ear Bud is our sixth dog themed franchise, or at least our sixth franchise in which at least one film is about a dog. The outlier being the Look Who's Talking trilogy, which only had one film about a dog. But if you do count Look Who's Talking as a dog themed franchise, then Ear Bud is also our third dog-themed franchise in a row with Cats and Dogs from last fortnight. Our other dog-themed franchises include, as you say, 101 Dalmatians, Lady and the Tramp, and of course Beethoven. And then I wrote, which I think we can all agree, Ear Bud invites the most comparison between both being vaguely grounded slapstick family comedies.
Yeah, okay.
Agreed?
You've put a lot of work into that. I'm not going to shoot you down in your own show.
So the next film in the series came out in 1998, and it's called Ear Bud Golden Receiver.
Nice.
Now, good stuff.
Yeah. For some reason, I always thought that this was the soccer one, but then that doesn't make any sense.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
So this film was directed by Richard Martin. What?
What?
That's your name.
What?
What had happened?
Yeah, I don't know. I was expecting
something
like,
you're not telling us.
I was expecting like this big, huge moment of a reveal, but like I don't know what to say.
Well, it's not you. That's
no. Okay. It isn't me.
Because otherwise, not only would you probably be in world record books for directing a movie at what, 5?
Yeah.
That's more impressive than a dog that can play basketball.
Let's not get carried away.
But you also have a lot of explaining to do if you did direct this movie, because guess what this one got on Rotten Tomatoes?
20s.
21%.
Yeah.
So
I told you I'd get it.
The Ringer article, Ear Bud plausibility scale, ranked this third. So right in the middle of how likely it is that a dog
could
do
this. So what sport is he playing?
He's playing football.
American football.
Yeah. So what's this movie about? Beyond what I just said.
So your buddy, you know, this time
we should a considerable amount of time has passed. What's his name? Josh.
Josh Fram.
Josh Fram is now a teenager.
It's actually only a year later.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, but he ages quite a lot in the first three movies.
Yeah, it's true.
He's like blonde in the third
one. You know the gap between the first two Harry Potter films where they come back and their voices have all dropped?
Yeah.
It's like that.
Definitely.
Sorry, so I thought it was a considerable amount of time later, but apparently it's a year.
Mm.
I think it's quite good to note that, I mean, because we go from basketball to American football, that Buddy, aside from being just an incredible sporting, you know, just specimen, can also understand tactics.
Yeah, and he doesn't learn.
No.
He doesn't learn how to play these sports, he just knows them.
Yeah, at no point, because American football, I mean, a lot of the criticism it gets for not catching on as a global sport is because it's so stop-start, a lot of tactics that if you're not familiar with, if you haven't grown up with, it's very hard to get into. Not if you're a dog.
No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess he's grown up around it. But that's what I can't... Oh, no, it's... It's in the first one, the court case, when they're like, well, Buddy's like 4 years old, so he's technically an adult. So.
Yeah, and dog years, he's 28.
Yeah. So, yeah, Golden Receiver, Josh's mum is dating again, and Josh joins...
But it's just like the perfect guy.
Yeah, yeah. But Josh doesn't like him.
He's a vet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a vet. And he joins the football team so that he doesn't have to be at home to see his mum be happy.
Yeah. We've all been there.
Yeah. Unlike the first film, Golden Receiver was a financial disaster.
Am I right in saying that's the last one that was released in cinemas?
That
or was
is
that
correct.
Straight to video? Right.
That is correct. Only the first two have been in cinemas. It made back just over $10 million against the initial budget of $11 million. This, of course, doomed the remaining 12 official sequels to the wonderful world of straight-to-DVD bargain bins. And also, unlike the first film, Buddy was apparently portrayed by 6 different dogs this time, which is evident in the fact that the dog playing the sport from here on out is very clearly camera trickery and not a talented pooch. Because, I mean, what do you have to do to make a dog look like it's playing football? You give it a ball and say run, and then
well, yeah. First of all, you got to get it in pads, helmet.
Yeah, that's the selling point of them playing the different sports.
Yeah,
it's his wee little
cutie looks
in
his
we didn't even talk about in the basketball one. He has shoes.
Mm. Yeah. Which is like it's impressive to get a dog to actually walk in shoes, because I've worked on a show with a dog before, and like getting it to do shit.
To get a dog to do anything is hard.
Yeah, like walking on a new surface, it would freak out.
Yeah,
how it would deal with
it's
shoes.
Almost more impressive than a dog playing basketball.
A dog like throwing a ball at a dog and it biting it and it getting it in the hoop. Mm-hmm. I've done that before with a dog, but like I'd never got him to walk in shoes.
Exactly. Yeah. This podcast is just going to be several examples of things that I think are more impressive than a dog playing basketball. Okay, so golden receiver. Of all the sports that Buddy plays, in my opinion, football is far and away the most dangerous.
American football.
And this is a reality that doesn't quite sink in until he's tackled in the final game, and you're like, oh shit.
I'd have loved to have been in the opposition. Right, you know, Johnson, you're on the dog.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not doing that. Like, can you imagine being on this team and realizing I have to tackle a dog. this beautiful golden retriever. Yeah. I have to tackle him.
Yeah.
And you see it. I actually rewatched the scene to make sure it wasn't off screen. And you see what I'm assuming was like, not the real dog get tackled by this gridiron dude.
It's so funny. I don't even remember that.
And it's like, it's just, this is why a dog shouldn't be able to play football.
Yeah, maybe it should be added to the rules of American football that a dog shouldn't be able to play.
I think it has been added in since.
But after Golden Receiver came out, the committee was like, we got to get in on this
after
quick.
The Miami Dolphins tried to draft it.
What do you guys think of Golden Receiver? Do you agree with the...
Hated it.
Yeah? Did you like any of them?
It was pretty bad.
I said to Richard off mic, I didn't mind basketball because I can sort of tolerate it. The third one I'm a big fan of because we're saying, you know, American football, the next one's about football, the beautiful game.
This is a rivalry, right? This is a big thing that sports people don't like Americans calling rugby football. Rugby? It's American rugby, essentially, right?
Do you want me to get into the actual sort of... So I'm all right with the term soccer.
Okay.
In countries where football is another code.
Okay.
So in America, football is American football. In Ireland, football is Gaelic football. Okay. And football in Australia, football is Aussie rules.
Yep.
And soccer is the term in those two countries. Anywhere else, you shouldn't say it.
Okay.
Wash your mouth out.
Okay.
Or I'll find you.
Because I was reading recently, doesn't soccer actually come from... It's an English term, isn't it?
It's a sort of like bastardization of the term association football. Yeah.
So, really?
Which is what it's called, is like the official UK term for it.
Yeah, which I don't...
Yeah.
Which I'm aware is like it's the alleged thing. I don't understand how.
Yeah.
Wow, interesting. Because they're pretty different.
Yeah, exactly.
Am I right
in
saying
that? But if you
that?
Take the second S and then the OC out of association, then you go from there.
Well, because if you've ever read the book The Outsiders, which... I'm sure soccer predates this book. The term soccer, I mean.
Right,
but
right.
'Cause in there, there's like the social. So there's like the lower class people, the greasers, and the socials, and they're called. It's like in the book, it's written SOC, and it's like socials.
Mm-hmm.
And when we read it in English class, we said social. But I can't remember what they say in the movie, but so I think it was like the socks and the greasers. So it's like it's not the only time that association or social has been abbreviated to sock.
Mm. Sorted out association, the word.
Well, speaking of soccer, in 2000, two years after Golden Receiver, we got the third outing for our favorite golden retriever,
and this one, the dog, like timeline has progressed.
Yeah, it's 2 years later,
right?
And Josh is blonde.
Yeah,
isn't
Josh is. Oh, he's got some sick. What's it called?
Like frosted tips.
This one was called Earbud.
If you didn't know that this one took place in the 2000s, you do now.
Yeah. This one was called Earbud World Pup. Great.
Yeah.
And was directed by a guy named Bill Bannerman.
So the Martin clan lost their grip.
Yeah.
After that financial disaster. Yeah. But hey, so World Pup as a title.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll talk about titles later.
Yeah, we will talk about
put
titles.
We'll put a pin in that.
Now, what do you think this has on Rotten Tomatoes?
four.
I reckon it's in around the 20s again.
This film literally doesn't have a Rotten Tomatoes page.
That's bad.
That's how
does it have a page at
and
all?
You click on it and it says page
does
not
still
found.
Exist.
Well, I've never seen in all my research for this podcast. I've never seen that before. I've seen ones that have a page, but no one's reviewed it.
It just says no page
oh
found.
Oh my god!
A first for film franchise Fortnights.
We were talking earlier. Me and Richard were talking earlier. About because I sort of did a bit of last minute cramming and looked at all the Wikipedia entries of all the films, and they just get shorter and shorter.
Yeah,
to the point where the fifth one is just basically three lines.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, that's like if you couldn't tell the direction these films are going in, you might be able to now.
So the Ringer Ear Bud plausibility scale ranked this fourth out of five, and the most likely.
Oh, the soccer, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's just. Excuse me for not keeping up, but that means it's more implausible.
Yes. Yeah,
if anything, you'd say it's probably more plausible because the dog has four legs.
You run with a ball? Is that the...
We eventually kick it towards a goal, but yes.
I feel like that's the most likely thing.
Well,
no,
but then at the same, I was thinking about this when I was watching it. I was like, could he ever be like accused of like a handball? Because do they have to say his front ones are hands?
Wow.
No.
If a dog played soccer, would he play it like this or like this?
Because he wears shoes.
What is this film about, though? We've talked a lot around it. What is the nitty-gritty?
This was the real coming of age in the Air Bud films. Buddy has a love interest, as does Josh, with a terrible accent.
That's a note. That's in my Google Doc that I'm reading from now.
Yeah. This is the first time we see objection towards the dog.
That's in the notes as well.
Sorry, I'll let you go then.
What is the plot of the film?
He plays football to like because Josh does it to impress a girl, right? Yeah. And then Buddy's he's not great, and then Buddy is amazing, and then they get good together.
Yeah, yeah. And this film, while it was the first globally released straight-to-DVD entry in the series, it did have a theatrical release in the Philippines.
Sure, David Koryos to get
started. Okay, so my first note here, as you mentioned before, Alex, Emma, who's the love interest, the human love interest, not the dog love interest, but she does own the dog love interest.
Yeah, so that worked out quite well.
It was Molly.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Her accent in Will Pup is the worst
it's
attempt...
adorable.
At a British accent I've heard in a film, and I don't understand why they didn't just cast a British actress. Like, there's a scene where one of the dog nappers, because by the way, five of these films involve dog nappers.
Hang on, were the dog nappers in the last one the Russians, or was it this one?
No, that was the Russians. I don't remember anything discerning about them. But there's one point where one of the dog nappers is disguising himself as a butler to try and like get his ins with the British family.
Genius.
And his British accent is better than her quote-unquote real British accent.
Yeah.
Again.
It is something to behold, man, this accent. Like, go watch the film just to hear a very clearly American actress trying to... And I looked her up, and she is an American actress.
The thing, that often trips up Americans trying to do accents is that when you say British accent, like, that's not a thing. Like, you could, like, if you're British, you can be the English, Welsh, Scottish, or Northern Irish.
Right.
Yeah, and even, like, each of those are divided.
Exactly.
Into,
hers is just an absolute
hers
train wreck.
Is like this. This is great.
That's how she talks.
Yeah,
and here's another thing you said before, Alex. Why does it take three movies for any of the opposition to say, dog can't play this
I'll
game?
I'll tell you why.
In the first one, there is the scene where they're like, that can't happen. They're like, well, actually, it can.
I'll tell you why. Basketball, largely based in America.
Yeah.
American football, entirely based in America.
Yeah.
Football or soccer, global game. What does the world have that America doesn't? Integrity. Right? All right. And that is, you know, the fine people, because I said before this is probably my most enjoyable one, just because I...
It's your sport.
Because you understand the rules.
Oh, gotcha. You know,
I couldn't follow the others because I don't understand the rules of the game.
So obviously the other team says, well, look, you get rid of the dog, we're not playing.
It's so absurd because the opposition coach, by the way, for some reason, every team that one of the Frams joins is called the Timberwolves.
That is an American convention, yes.
Is it?
Timberwolves, Wildcats.
But
it's like the schools. It's the school's mascot. Right.
There's a great bit in The Simpsons where they're playing American football. And it's like, who are we? The Wildcats. And who are we going to beat? The Wildcats.
So the opposition coach is basically like, oh, the dog can't play. And then he meets with the committee and they put a rule in there that the dog can't play.
Yeah, again, integrity.
Yeah, and the home team are all like, oh, you know, what are we going to do? Yeah. Earbud's kicked off the team. And then the opposition coach, his son, reads it in the newspaper and he's like, you're really going to say that dogs can't play? And he's like, we had a meeting on it. We decided. And he's like, it's because we were beat by a dog, Dad. That's our fault. It's like, well, I mean, the dog probably shouldn't be able to play the game. Like, I'm kind of on the opposition side.
Like, you get the stereotype now of the sort of millennial liberal intelligentsia.
Yeah.
But this is 18-odd years before that.
You know? It's so weird, man. So, some fun stuff about...
Oh, it sounds like fun. You said it about five times.
Yeah.
So, at the end of the film, Buddy is shown scoring the winning goal for the professional women's soccer team. But even if dogs are allowed to play, Buddy's a boy. Yeah. Like, is this not factored into this decision?
Do you reckon they do it by testosterone? Do dogs yeah. produce testosterone?
I don't know.
They might.
They must do.
They're probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel bad for even questioning this. Of course they do. They must.
20 dogs listening. Sorry.
What if he's been like neutered? No, but then he hasn't because they've
They have puppies. Maybe they got neutered. No, because then... Spoilers for Ear Buddies.
Or did he?
There's more puppies.
I don't recall the scene where he goes to a sperm bank.
the very long and difficult adoption process.
Arduous process of finding a dog reference and, you know, convincing the dog adoption agency.
You want the right dog.
It's quite easy to adopt a dog, isn't it? Just go down the SPCA.
Yeah,
it's easy. You don't even have to prove your ethics.
Well, it doesn't say anywhere in the rules that a dog can't adopt another dog.
Cool. So the next film in the series is called Ear Bud, Seventh Inning Fetch. And that came out 2 years later in 2002, directed by Robert Vince, and he's important. There is no critic score for this on Rotten Tomatoes, but there is an audience score, which means nothing if you don't have previous audience scores, but it's 51, so there you go.
That's a pass at uni.
As the resident sports guy
go.
Here, can I just ask you, seventh inning fetch, what's that a play on?
I looked
on?
It up. I know it.
Like, I'm assuming it's a baseball term. Again, yeah. like I had with the last one, with the second one, I'm not a huge fan of baseball.
Yeah.
Just because it's cricket for idiots.
It's seventh inning stretch.
Yeah, I thought I was going to say
stretch. Is the autocomplete that happens when you type seventh inning into Google.
Okay. And also, because I was going to say as well, with the... never mind. We'll talk about titles later.
We will. We'll talk about titles ad nauseum. Don't you worry. The article on the Ringer website, the Above Plausibility Scale, ranked this, fifth.
Yeah, it's the most unlikely
sport that a dog
He can't do... I mean, if you break it up, he can't do half the game. Because he can't field, can't throw.
Well, he does, though.
I know.
I actually read a bit of the plausibility scale article around this one, and it emphasised the fact that if, like, the point of baseball, especially being a batter, is to keep your eye on the ball, but Buddy has to hold the bat in his mouth and turn his head really fast to hit the ball, which means he's not looking at the ball, and it's also made a point of saying that if he misses it, it would kill him. It would break his... jaw.
Yeah.
But
as we saw, he didn't miss a shot. He's not missing this.
So what is this movie about?
So this one is about Andrea, Josh's little sister, who's like weirdly obsessed with him.
By which point, Josh has moved on and off to college.
Yeah.
Dog's still alive, which is a good
and
run
and
for a
he's still got his frosted tips.
Yeah.
And
still listening to
Linkin
Park.
He's a golden retriever. He was born with frosted tips.
Yeah, so he's gone off to college, and she...
What's he studying?
What does he study?
I don't know. Law?
Sport?
Yeah, it wasn't
I don't know.
I don't know.
I've made
that up. Like, he saw how, like, useless the judge was in the first one.
Yeah,
he's like,
he's got a point to prove.
Yeah, so that she... Her and her best BFF,
Tammy,
they decide they want to play baseball together. Just to do something or whatever. And Andrea's terrible. And Tammy's like the best player on the team. But then turns out Buddy's real good at it. So then Buddy and Andrea train together and they become the two best players on the team because Tammy breaks her arm. Mm. And
there's also dog nappers that try to steal Buddy's puppies, who are now fully grown golden retrievers this time. And they're trying to steal them because maybe the ability to play sport is hereditary.
Yeah, so these are clearly...
Oh, they're all good at these a different
are,
sport.
Yeah, it is, apparently.
These are government operatives that are trying to steal them.
And
harness the genes to create a race of sort of American super athletes.
Yeah. Exactly. So this film, as I said, was directed by Robert Vince, who had either been a writer or producer for every film in the series thus far, and would go on to direct every single film in the Air Buddies spin-off series, making him the David Yates of the Air Bud series.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Well, like, not even that. Mm. We're getting further away, but, like, he directed everything.
Yeah, so, Seventh Inning Fetch... is my favourite Air Bud movie.
It's actually mine as well.
I loved this movie, and here's why. First of all, out of the five sports we see Buddy play in these movies, baseball is just considerably more incredible than any of the... Like, if I... A dog playing basketball, a dog playing baseball, excuse me, did I miss here? And it's more than just hitting the ball with his nose or running around. Buddy operates a fucking baseball bat with his mouth in this film, and that's more newsworthy whether than basketball or football or whatever.
I guess, yeah, that's what the other films lacked, and that was sporting apparatus.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas now he's got a bat.
Because by the time you get to baseball, you've done the three kind of more obvious ones. Although, obviously, if you've been following the ranking, yeah. The Ringer said that volleyball in the next film was more realistic than baseball, which it is.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
That's what I love about this film, is that it is just insane.
It's the most ridiculous.
Yeah, it's the most ridiculous. And as dry as all these films were to watch, to get to this one, four films in, you're like, fuck yes, like, this is so stupid.
Yeah, I actually, like, I'm glad you said that, because I felt kind of weird that I enjoyed this one.
No, I love this one.
Like, because I think it's the one I paid most attention to.
Yeah.
And so, immediately I was like, I took it in more. Mm. But, yeah.
Mm.
No, there's something about it.
So I personally got really invested in the Andrea and Josh story, even though you said it was weird and that she's obsessed with them.
Yes.
Josh moves away to college, and as an older brother who has moved away from his younger sister, that resonated with me. Yeah. Like, I was like, this is sweet.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
They have like a nice little
bond. And also, like, the film just assumed that we wouldn't notice that, like, the dad changes. And that in this one, it's like Al Borland.
Yeah. And that's like, another reason why it's the best one.
Yeah.
It's Richard Kahn is his real name. Yeah, but that scene where they say goodbye at the bus, it's at the start of the movie, she says, you know, I don't want you to go. That's the emotional high point of the entire franchise. Like, that's the most emotionally resonant of anything else in these movies, in my humble opinion. I also like that Andrea's not actually all that great at baseball in the beginning. And it's
no,
really,
she's terrible.
It's really and it's really the only film of the five in which either of the protagonists actually struggle significantly with their sport, and that's the story.
Are you counting Buddy as the protagonist?
No, I'm counting the Frank.
Okay, because I'd have a point with you there.
Buddy inexplicably can do all of them.
Buddy's a unit.
Yeah. But yeah, like, so in this film, her and Andrea and Tammy, like, say, oh, we're going to try it for baseball. And Tammy's amazing at the tryouts, and Andrea cannot do anything. She's, like, actively useless.
Yeah.
And then Tammy talks to the coach and is like, hey, like, me and Andrea did this together. Like, can you, if you're going to put me through, you have to put her through as well. And I was like, no self-respecting coach would care about
that. Yeah, well, you can't pick on sentiment.
Yeah. No one would.
Maybe she saw something in her.
I doubt it.
Yeah, because we don't even have the scene where she's like, I believe in you, Andrea. She's just like, yeah, no, she's fucking useless.
Like, because that's such a trope of sporting films, is start really shit, then there's some sort of, like, catalyst, in this case, Buddy, and then something happens to Buddy where he can't play, and then Andrea steps up and wins it.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. Or does it?
It did in this one. did you guys notice that the mailman in Seventh Inning Fetch, he appears in one scene, he's also the same character as the eccentric announcer for the baseball game?
I didn't notice that.
So, the announcer...
I noticed the announcer being incredibly eccentric.
Yeah, so what do you guys think of him? So for those who haven't seen Air Bud's Seventh Inning Fetch, all the baseball games are commentated by a seemingly alone man in a booth who's like, he goes nuts. And he like, at the end of the film when they win, he like high rides his pants and does like a chicken dance.
He kind of reminds me of Alan Tudyk.
In Celebration. Tudyk. Yeah, he looks a bit like Alan Tudyk. What'd you guys think of him? Did you like him?
No, it's this weird, like, it's very obviously shot all on the same day. And be like, okay, now now Ear Bud's just hit a home run. Now do something wacky.
Yeah.
And so he's like, oh,
yeah. What do you think, Alex?
I had a very similar thought to that.
Well, I actually reached out to him. His name is Doug Funk, and he's a stand-up comedian.
Is that his actual name?
I don't know. It's his name. On Facebook, it's his name. And I asked him about his experiences working on the film, and he even replied. How nice is that? He said, hey, AJ, that was like 20 years ago. It was fun working on that movie. I did the next one as well, small part, same character, Phil the Mailman. The director, Robert Vince, was looking to cast the mailman part in Ear Bud 4, so Seventh Inning Fetch. I already had the announcer part, so I suggested the announcer could be the mailman too, since it's a small town. He liked the idea, and I got a couple more days work, which I admire as like a hustler, but it didn't read in the film. It just kind of looked like they didn't have enough actors.
You know what all the tropes of great actors are?
Mm.
They add layers. Mm. You know, like on the original like edition of Rain Man, Dustin Hoffman's character didn't even have autism. He just added that.
Wow,
you know, and that's what's happened here.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Harry Potter wasn't even a wizard in the first draft.
No, Radcliffe's gone. Oh, mate, what about this? No, that's not it. Sorry.
He goes on to say, the film was shot in Vancouver, and back then I did the occasional TV stuff, but mostly improv and stand-up. Since 2010, I've been performing the cruise lines around the planet.
Oh, no, that's where entertainers go to die, isn't it? Cruise
ships. I hope he doesn't listen to this. I'm not going to send him a link. God bless Ear Bud. I still get residual checks twice a year for about $40 to $60. And when my kids were little, their friends thought I was a freaking rock star. Robert Vince wanted to cast me as the villain in Ear Bud 5, but he went with someone else. Residual checks would have been $100 to $150, jeez, damn it.
That's good. That's some good cash.
Yeah, I love this guy.
Yeah. He says, thanks for the message. Hope it goes good for you.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thanks, Doug.
First off, that's like, I mean, I know I sort of hinted at it before that I'm sort of a journalist, but that's easily more work than I've ever done on the story.
Oh, that's great. So thank you, Doug. He doesn't have a Facebook page. He has a Facebook group where you join and then he tells you what he's doing. So I don't know.
Go check out
Doug Funk. Cool. So thank you, Doug. So the next film, the final film we're talking about today, came out in 2003, so a year after Seventh Inning Fetch. It's called Ear Bud Spikes Back, and we'll get to that title later on. This movie was directed by Mike Southern, and again, no critic score, but it does have 49% audience score. The audiences like Seventh Inning Fetch more than Spikes Back.
Which is true of the people in this room as well. Yeah. Alex, I'm presuming you...
I'm on the fence.
The Ringer, the Ear Bud plausibility scale ranked the second.
This is first. This should be first.
Yeah.
It's the easiest for a dog to figure out.
Yeah, I could actually play volleyball against a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how you go is a different story, but like,
yeah.
No, but because basketball, you've got to have precision to get it into the hoop.
Well, yeah, volleyball, and basketball, you just have to hit. Basketball's, because it's filled with compressed air, basketball's quite hard. Yeah. Like, after a while, the dog would...
Well, I mean, he did it in real life, though, so clearly... Well,
but still, like, I mean, like, when I worked on with a dog and would throw balls at it and shit like that, like, you can't do it for too long, because as you say, that does start to hurt.
Yeah. Them.
A dog needs to know the rules of basketball to play basketball. A dog doesn't need to know the rules of
volleyball. Volleyball's a lot simpler. Like, Buddy... I mean, it's just luck that Buddy didn't, you know, travel or foul out or anything. Yeah. But in this one, you know, volleyball's a bit more black and white.
Mm. So what is Spikes Back about?
AJ, we've been you know, running our mouths talking about what they're about. Why don't you tell us?
Okay, so Andrea's back. This time, she's played by a different actress.
Yes.
And this time, Richard Caine is not back as the stepdad.
This time
actually, I remembered about this film. God, the worst, worst child acting I've ever seen in a film.
Not from Andrea.
But I remembered.
So, Andrea's best friend, Tammy, who we've mentioned from previous... Ear Bud movies, she moves to California. And so Andrea's like, I'm gonna go see her, but in order to get the money, I need to do dog sitting. So she does that for a bit, and then that doesn't work out, and she learns that if she joins the volleyball team like the cute boy from next door does, she could have a chance to go to the finals in California. So she exploits the Timberwolves volleyball team to try and get to California.
Can I just say, some of the coincidences in this film, not just from this franchise, you know, like, you know, a kid that likes basketball happens to run into a dog that can play basketball, you know? And now we've got, the finals just happened to be in California.
Imagine if in the first one he's like, oh, well, I prefer, like, cricket, but since you can play basketball, I'll get into it as well.
You know, he's one of those guys that, like, owns a samurai sword and practices ninjutsu.
He's like, normally I study the blade, but...
While you were shooting hoops, I studied the blade. This movie, Spike's Back, is so awfully constructed.
Yeah.
Because the basic premise of Andrea joining a volleyball team so she can get a chance to go to the finals in California, that's a good idea.
That's the best premise I've ever heard.
that's a fine premise.
That could win an Oscar, done correctly.
Yeah, exactly. Best original screenplay,
But we don't get to volleyball till literally the halfway point of the movie. So we waste all this time with her trying to raise money through pet sitting, and then there's like B-plots about grandma visiting and her parrot going missing and like a priceless jewel that's moved into the museum in Fernfield and these dog nappers and how they want to steal the gem, but then they realise that the dog can get around the lasers. Which you would think they would try work it so the dog's skill at volleyball would be imperative to him getting the jewel. It's not. They just need a dog. And then of course, there's also the further adventures of young Noah Fram, who's grown up from the little boy we saw in two films ago.
The half-brother.
Yeah, the half-brother.
Or step-brother. Half-brother.
Yeah, half-brother. Yeah. Right. And Richard... And
also, funnily enough, who just happens to have the name of the mum, not of his dad.
That's very progressive. Yeah. It's very feminist. What did you guys think of Noah Fram? He's probably about 4 or 5 years old in this film.
It's like... His age, like, don't get me wrong, like, you can forgive like bad child acting when they're young. This kid is like beyond that. Like, go and watch the opening scene, because I put the movie on and I messaged AJ. I was like, this is the worst fucking acting I've ever seen. Like, it's actually unforgivable.
Wow.
Like, I don't know.
Reached out to him as well.
He
wrote, I'm a big fan of the podcast.
I can't wait to hear you talk about me.
I love Richard's opinions. No, I actually tried to look up a photo of what that guy looks like now. Did you do that by any chance?
No.
He's like, I don't know if it's him, because there's like lots of photos of like the kid when he was young, and there's like this one photo of like this fat blonde dude with a beard and like a mullet. And it's like, it may or may not be him, but it's real hard to tell.
Right.
Amazing.
So maybe reach out to him and be like, hey, are you fat and have a mullet? And were you an Earbud 5?
Yeah, I'd go with that one first.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't reply to the... Are you fat? When I was in high school, we mentioned this a couple of times, there was a big earthquake in mine and Richard's hometown in my final year of high school. And... so we were in a good part of town, and so we accepted another school to come and study on our grounds, and it was an all-girls school, and I went to a co-ed school, and I remember...
As a red-blooded male in your last year of high school, then another influx of females, you lucky sod.
They would have loved to just see anything male.
Yeah, they were all-girls school.
And one time, whereas, like... There wasn't really a rivalry between them, but it was fun to, like, you know,
play them against
each other. Fun to tease them.
Yeah. Well, both ways. Not just us teasing them or them teasing. And we made friends with some of them. And one time I was like, would it be funny if I did this? And I asked my friend, he's like, yeah, do it. And so the next girl from this girl's school walked past, and as she walked past, she went, excuse me, are you hot? She just glared at me, and I immediately was like, "What have I done? I wish I didn't do that."
Was she hot?
I can't remember. I just remember thinking.
I
remember thinking it was an offensive thing to yell at someone, but obviously my sense of humor is kind of not.
As a girl, like, going through puberty, she would probably
you could have yelled at someone. I don't know. Does your dad have antlers or something like that? Just to really get her, were you born in a cage or something?
Yeah,
I wasn't implying anything.
Are you fat?
Yeah, that's where it came from. Like, I wasn't implying she wasn't hot. I just thought it was an absurd thing to ask someone. But I can understand that it wouldn't have come across as that.
one time, talking of, you know, interactions with girls, there was one time I was at the movies, I was saying, he's just not that into you. Actually, I'm combining two stories here, but it's a better story that way.
Okay.
You know, if you didn't say that, we wouldn't have known.
Yeah, I know. I was at, you know, the movies, me and my friend were going to see, he's just not that into you. And these two girls, these two girls were like, hey, what movie are we at? And I was like, what? And later I realized that they were like, they'd like obviously just like bought tickets to one movie and then gone to the toilet and then gone to another one kind of thing, because that's like a thing you can do once you're past the ticket threshold. And then we were like, oh, and then after the movie they like started talking to us, and we were just like, because we were like, these fucking weird girls that don't know what movie they're in. And then as we left we were like, wait a minute, they were flirting with us. And then it's like, to this day it's like a, like, because we were like, oh wait, like, should we go back? Because I think maybe they like invited us to like do it again with them, like go to the next movie or something like that. And we're like, oh no. And then, yeah, like to this day, we'll be like, should have gone back.
Oh, you love me then.
What's two stories were you combining before? I couldn't figure out where the point was.
No, the stories are the one where the girls flirted with him and the one where he went and saw, he's just not that into you.
Oh, okay. Is that it?
I think it was at a different movie.
Oh, okay. But you just wanted to let people know that you went to see that.
Well,
it's not a bad movie, is it?
No, well, because I'll tell you what. I think some girls asking me what movie are we at might have been in a different movie. But I remember after he's just not that into you, this girl started talking to us, and we think,
jeez, Richard Martin.
So, wow,
ladies form a line.
All right, so we talk about.
Oh yeah, back to the dog.
Yeah,
we talk about.
Alex, do you have any stories about girls and saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing?
No, I saw a girl once. She was all right. I've seen a few girls on the internet.
How many?
Huh?
How many?
Oh, at least three.
You should ask them if they're hot.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
One time, same friend, we were going to go see Up, and we were walking down the street, and these girls, like, so that was in my second last year of high school, so I would have been like 16. These like 13-year-old girls came up to us and like, hey, do you like Marilyn Manson? And we were like, oh, you're real young, and kept walking. We didn't say that, but we were like, nah, let's not interact with these girls.
We talk about taglines once before on this podcast, and I want to talk about taglines again because I quite like the Ear Bud film taglines. So the first Ear Bud film, the tagline for this film is, he sits, he stays, he shoots, he scores. That's great. That's good stuff. The second one, Golden Receiver, is just dog it.
I think it's meant to be just do it. This is before Nike.
Okay.
Trademarked it. I don't think dogging it is an expression.
Okay.
Like, definitely in sport. I think, you know, in other areas of life, dogging is a popular pastime.
Yeah.
If you want to know more, look it up, because it's a right laugh.
Yeah. That's a British slang as well. Yeah, that's British slang.
I'll explain it to you off mic.
Okay.
It's public sex, right? Is that it?
Well.
Wow, yes. I thought it was just like,
no, that's
being a dick, like dogging your boys.
Yeah, well, because there's dogging the boys, but then the British slang.
Australian.
Is, okay. Yeah, but then the British slang is public sex.
What a hilarious.
Like a dog act, which I don't understand, because dogs are quite noble creatures.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They play basketball.
Yeah, exactly.
Hit the shoot. Football. They hit, they sit, they stay, they score.
the tagline for a World Pup is a new breed of soccer dad, which I quite like, because he becomes a dad in it.
That's layered. Again, that was probably Buddy came up with that, because they add layers to it.
Yeah, yeah. Seventh inning fetch, it's, he's a natural with major league talent, or... And this one I don't understand, and Alex, I was hoping you maybe could shed some light with your impeccable baseball knowledge.
Hit me.
He leads the league in walks.
Okay, so a walk is, like, if you're playing baseball, so you have three strikes.
Yeah.
Three strikes around. Four balls.
Yeah.
So if you get hit, you walk to base.
Okay.
Like, just automatically.
Okay.
So, I mean, I guess because Americans record everything stats-wise to do a sport, so I'm assuming that's a category of stat.
Okay.
But it's like, take a walk, you walk to base.
That's a bad thing then.
It's not a bad thing.
So, like, yeah, it's bad pitching. Like, essentially, because there's the strike zone,
and then anything else is a ball.
So even if you don't swing, but it's in the strike, like it was a perfect pitch, that's a strike. Mm-hmm. But if it's outside of the strike zone,
it's a ball.
Okay.
And you get four of those. And then it's like the pitcher's not going to pitch you a good shot, just walk to the first base.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an interesting thing to be a leader of a league in, but all right.
Well, stats.
Well, either that or he takes the whole league for a walk. Because he's good at walking.
On a big leash.
Because he's a dog, so he goes for walks.
That's the crossover.
That's the dog part of it, now that we've established the sports
part. We're now looking
part.
At a Venn diagram.
I love Venn diagrams. So the one for Spike's Back, I think I get. The tagline for Spike's Back is, "This dog can really dig." A dig a volleyball move?
It's before this. So a dig is like setting up a spike, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Digs when you're like, you start with your like hands clenched together and you just low and up, up and you up.
And then someone else comes and goes, boom!
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. So we talk about titles a lot on this podcast. And the Earbud titles are a word playground.
Like, word plague. Round. A round of world plagues. That's what I thought you said.
SARS, films, Ebola.
Films 2 to 4 being pretty quality puns involving dogs.
Yeah.
I would say Golden Receiver and Seventh Inning Fetch are both pretty clear.
Golden Receiver is outstanding.
It's like how you came up with the idea for the movie.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Then we get to Spike's Back, and it's like they didn't even try. Or am I missing something?
Well, no, okay. So, like, this is what you're going to talk about kind of thing. Is that, like, the other ones have, like, taken a sports term and replaced it with a dog term.
Yeah.
That one's just taken a film term and replaced it with a volleyball term.
So, Strikes Back.
Yeah, so, like, right, Airbud Strikes Back, but they've replaced it with Spikes.
I don't like it. It's not on brand.
Yeah, it doesn't fit the pattern. Mm. But what I was going to say earlier about that, like, World Cup isn't exclusively like a football term.
Okay.
So that was why I thought was kind of weird. I mean,
not even that, they don't even go to the World Cup.
Yeah, it's not about like, World Cup.
Right, so that's not even soccer, it's just sport.
For anyone that knows FIFA as an organisation, they are pretty corrupt and you could put right money to the right people. You can get a team of dogs.
Yeah.
You know,
to play in Qatar in 2022.
So I mean, that's not out of the question, but it was not broached.
So if you guys were to name a volleyball themed sequel to Earbud.
Oh, nah.
What would you call it? I think I know why they called it Spike's Back, because the only thing I could think of was Beach Bitch.
That's good.
That's a good one.
But you can't call your Disney movie Beach Bitch.
Well,
can you, though?
Let's ask. Hello, Disney.
I was going to do roleplay with you. But
okay. Save it for the Patreon.
That'll be good. I'll get him. How's the podcast? Yeah, it was good till they started role playing.
Because the thing is, you want to take like a 2 to 4 word or 2 to 3 word like expression to do with that, and that one of the words rhymes with or sounds like a dog word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
which is real hard because we continue the franchise.
Yeah,
I've been trying to do that.
All three of
us. It seems like it should be real easy.
I've got one, but it's a stretch.
So is mine.
Well, because I was going to say, like, I mean, it's not something they say in. But like beach bitch, because like beach ditch isn't like a...
Right.
Like you could say life's a bitch, but then no way, because life's a beach is
life
already
is a
pun.
Bitch.
Yeah, fuck.
Anyone listening to this, life is just rubbish.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's hard. Because
what are some like terms to do with beach volleyball?
Exactly.
Yeah. Spike. Dig. That should have been dig.
They should have done
something with dig.
Yeah.
Earbud dig in or something.
Yeah, yeah. That's better. That's better. There you go, Disney. Earbud Entertainment, you monolith.
You monolith.
Interesting. Well, anyway, as you mentioned, Richard, the final segment we've got to talk about today is continue the franchise. This is a segment where all three of us will be pitching another entry in the Earbud series. Now, of course, when it comes to continuing the franchise, Earbud is by no means short of sequels, with next week's Earbuddies spin-off series consisting of 7 films all up, along with its very own spin-off series of 2 films, the Santa Paws films. Earbud Entertainment is basically a testament to building a film empire out of one relatively simple idea. What continue the franchise essentially is. However, there have been a few cancelled Earbud sequels, and now we're going to play a little game. And this little game is called, is this a real Earbud sequel idea that never came to fruition, or an unsubstantiated rumour which probably originated on one website and was recycled over and over through other rumour mills until it appeared on multiple websites despite not having an obvious official source?
Good name.
Have you got like an abbreviation of that?
No.
Oh, I thought you might have done like an acronym.
Yeah, like a
hilarious acronym. Yeah. It's like the best dog sport.
It actually just spells like
Alsatian or something.
Alsatian. It's the best word you could have picked.
What's the type of dog?
Yeah, I know. I would have thought like beagle or something dumb like that. Alsatian's complicated enough that it could be an acronym. Okay, so the first one I've got here, Earbud the Next Generation, was inexplicably described as Ferris Bueller meets Home Alone, and was pitched by Buddy's original owner, Kevin DeCicco, as a way to utilize the three puppies which Buddy had sired in real life before he died. DeCicco lost the rights to the intellectual property, however, after falling out with Robert Vince, and Golden Receiver went into production instead. Is that a real sequel idea that didn't come to fruition, or an unsubstantiated rumor? Which probably originated on one website and was recycled over and over through rumor mills until it appeared on multiple websites despite not having an obvious official source.
Can we just say yes or no, just for simplicity?
Is it real or fake?
I'm going to say it's fake.
I'm going to say it's real.
It is a real idea that never came to fruition.
Because I feel like that might have been what inspired Air Buddies.
Mm, maybe.
Like they were, when they're like, what sequels can we churn out?
Yeah. All right, the next one I've got on here is something we've almost talked about before. It's called Air Bud Aussie Rules. And this was planned for release in 2009 and would have seen Buddy take to Australia to play rugby over there. Is that the right term?
No.
Aussie Rules.
Aussie Rules
is its own beast.
Okay, so I apologise. It would eventually culminate in him playing against a kangaroo. The film was said to be the first in an Australian Air Bud trilogy, with the second film apparently being titled Air Bud from Aussie with Love.
Okay.
Real or fake?
Do you want my rationale or just real or fake?
No, I'd love to hear your rationale. Yeah.
So these films aren't known for making money, and I don't think they could substantiate enough of a turnaround where they'd make the like all that back to go to Australia, get these dogs, train them up, get the actors. So I'm going to say fake.
I'm going to say fake, but I wish it was real.
It is an unsubstantiated
rumor. Not even I wish it was like a real one. I wish this was actually made, because it's okay.
No, it's fake. But however, it might not be. I don't know. It's very possible.
Anyone out there wants to have a crack?
No, this was hard to figure out. Okay, I was up till 2 a.m. trying to figure this out. It's very possible that this movie was planned, but I couldn't find any credible proof of its existence beyond a very hastily photoshopped poster, which you can find if you type in Earbud Aussie Rules. If you type in Earbud Aussie Rules into Google, you're met with several suspicious links, including a Wikipedia entry which redirects to the Earbud franchise page with no further mention of this film, a Yahoo Answers post questioning its existence, and a Reddit post on the AFL subreddit from 2 months ago which claims it's coming out tomorrow.
Nice.
And
like tomorrow as in the next, June 15th?
No,
or
July 15th.
July 15th.
Oh,
no,
really?
As in when it was made.
Oh.
They said it's coming out tomorrow. And unlike Earbud World Pup, the Aussie Rules does have a Rotten Tomatoes page. it's got 60% audience score.
Nice.
With a complete synopsis of the film, but no reviews, no quotes, and no cast members. So it could exist. It's just one of the worst attempts at marketing in film history.
Wow.
And the sequel's also, I found it called From Aussie with Love, and no more information.
I've been looking at volleyball jargon, which has a Wikipedia page for volleyball jargon. So you've got like, there's like outside dig and like right hand dig. There's like things like that.
That's cool.
Yeah, there's like
right paw dig.
Yeah, I guess.
Do we know what a dig is?
Yeah, we were right about it.
Oh, yes.
Wait, actually, I should double check that. I just assumed I was right.
Again, you didn't need to say that. We could have gotten away with it.
We've probably got a volleyball fan listening that's like, no!
I'm not listening to them anymore.
Losing that volleyball market.
Yeah.
Dig has its own Wikipedia page. No, wait. Keep reading.
All right
so the next sequel that maybe was real and maybe wasn't real is called Earbud the Big Puck. Was planned for 2010 or 2011 and would have seen Buddy take up hockey. Is this real or fake?
It's plausible. I'm going to say it's real.
I'm going to say fake.
It is an unsubstantiated rumour. The Earbud Wiki article on the Big Puck reads as follows. Earbud the Big Puck was a cancelled Earbud movie that would have been released in 2010 or 2011. Not much evidence exists of this movie, even less than Aussie Rules. But in this movie, it has Buddy playing hockey. It's very eloquently worded.
Yeah. Surely you go for like Earbud Puck Off or something.
Yeah.
Shut the puck up.
Puck it, yeah.
leave me alone, you fucking nutcase.
Yeah, we were right. WikiHow. Yes. But oh my god, it's got these videos that just keep playing when I try and like.
I got one more potential sequel for you.
Okay.
Ear Bud All Fours would have seen Buddy taking up golf as his sport of choice.
Okay.
Real or fake?
Fake.
I'm going to go real.
An unsubstantiated rumour. The wiki page hardly even bothers describing the film, but a 2011 blog on mandatory.com called The Series Project, which I think might be like very similar to this podcast, but it's like a blog within a blog and not...
Sounds worse.
There was an entry that focused on the Ear Bud films and does suggest All Fours sounds like it should be about poker instead of golf.
Okay.
Yeah,
I thought that was
dogs playing poker would be a good one.
Yeah, there's a successful painter that's done that.
You're like your poster's done.
So there's an easy way and a more nuanced way of coming up with an Ear Bud sequel for the continue the franchise. The easiest way is if the next Ear Bud film is about a sport, which sport is it about and what's it called? Is that what you guys did?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, okay, that's what I did.
Because there's so many other sequels and spin-offs.
Yeah.
You know. So, give me... who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
So, I...
If you nick my one, I'm going to come over there and do you in.
I did golf.
Oh, yeah.
Is it called All Fours?
No, it's called Ear Bud in the Rough.
That's great.
That's really good.
Rough, spelled R-U-F-F. Because I was going, because I wasn't sure... what you were going to be doing kind of thing. So this morning I opened up a Google Doc and I listed like every sport I could think of and I was going to come up with a sequel title for all of them. And then I was like, fuck, this is real hard. So I just did golf.
Nice.
Actually the other one I came up with, did either of you guys do cricket?
No.
I did Paul Before Wicket.
But it's not.
It like doesn't like fit, but it's,
So
the rest of them are like homonyms, whereas that's just like replacing the dog version of something.
Okay, so any more story elements or just he plays golf?
Oh, he'd be real good at it.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And his dog never's after
him. If a god plays basketball.
If God can play, yeah.
If a dog can play golf, does he play it on his hind legs or does he use his mouth?
I'd say it'd be similar to the baseball one, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe some slightly modified.
Yeah, this is number 6 on the plausibility scale.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. All right, Alex, what have you got for us?
Right, I'm going to throw some things at you.
Yeah.
Right? Basketball?
He's done that already.
No, just bear with me. Okay. Basketball?
Yeah.
American football?
Yeah.
Regular football?
Yeah.
What was there? Baseball?
Yeah.
Volleyball?
Yeah.
What do they got in common?
They're all balls.
No, they're all team sports.
Okay.
So what I want to do is I want to see him, Buddy, just go out and rep it on his own. Mm. And I thought, so what would be a good sport to see a dog in? You could have tennis, you could have, you know, golf, as Richard said. But no, I've chosen Formula One. I want to see Buddy driving a car, and I want to see his pit crew of all dogs changing tyres and whatnot.
That's amazing.
For a name, this was so hard, and I've settled on Whip It Fast.
Yeah.
Because a whippet's a dog.
Okay. So, what about Formula Bone?
Again, no.
Yeah, because you mentioned that to me, and I've been trying to think of one for it as well. But I was thinking you could do something with like Indy 500.
Again, because I want it to be Formula One, because I want to see him in Europe. Because Europe's probably a bit more liberal. And they would
European pooch.
Again.
They'd probably call it something like that. Doesn't even
Or like, like pit crew and pit stop. Like, there's something. There's got to be something
pup
there.
Pup crew.
Pup crew. Pup stop.
I mean, he could go to NASCAR, but that's just turning
is
left.
Is there a dog food called something bits?
Kibble
and bits crew?
Yeah, it's a stretch.
Yeah.
I'm not good at puns.
No.
Like, there's so... Like, each sport has so many... terms that go with it, and there are so many dog words. Like, it should be easy,
but it's really not.
Bow wow wow, look at him go. My idea for continue the franchise, I tried to, you know, I'm not a very sporty person, so I tried to apply it to my life, and I thought, first of all, I was tempted to pitch Ear Bud versus Beethoven, but I feel like that well is kind of dry.
Was my Beethoven contender the franchise anyway.
Was it?
Yeah.
I was too.
It's not quite Alien versus Predator.
So
not quite cats and dogs.
I decided to go for Ear Bud plays esports. So he's playing video games. And the best idea I could come up with, and this is one of the worst title ideas I've ever had, Ear Bud like a dog with a pone.
I gotta say,
I'm just laughing at Rich's reaction. I don't think it's good. But honestly, I've known Rich for about a year now. I've never seen him laugh like that.
Only I can do it.
Alright, well done.
That was good.
Oh, okay,
good. That's the best title you've ever come up with. AJ like has a massive hard on for titles.
You're right.
Well, I wouldn't say massive, but he loves titles, but he's always like, oh, and the title I've come up with is the best part, and it's like, no, I don't like it. his Jurassic Park continue the franchise, Jurassic Park B.
That and wasn't was my like, continue the franchise. That was my alternate title for The Lost World.
And I was like, I don't like it.
I think it's so good. Anyway,
I don't get it.
Because it's Site B in The Lost World.
Okay.
So Jurassic Park B. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
This isn't the Jurassic Park podcast. This is the Earbud podcast, of which I'm all out of things to say about.
Well, like, part of me still like, there have to be puns we're just not seeing.
Well, I mean, we've spoken about, I'm going to hijack the podcast for a bit. We've spoken about plausibility. All right. I grew up with dogs. I grew up playing sport. All right.
Mm-hmm.
This is not possible. Right, no. You cannot get dogs through anything. I was saying to Rich earlier that once, because me and my brother played in the same rugby team in the last year of school, and Mum bought the dog to one of the games. And when a parent thinks their children are better than they actually are, she's like that, except she thinks the dog's more obedient than it is. Mm-hmm. So she took him off the lead, and then the kickoff went up, and the dog got there first. Wow. Flew through the air, got the ball, and we're just like, oh, do we have another ball? Because we weren't getting it back.
Well, see, I would argue that the moral of that story is you can't not get a dog to play play sports.
I mean, we'd love to have my dog on the team. It's just who then misses out.
It's just there's a rule that says that you can't.
Yeah, other sports have it covered. Anyway.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask, like, as the sports guy here, are there rules explicitly stating that the players have to be human?
I mean, I don't do much in my spare time, but reading sports rule books from cover to cover isn't a thing that I've done. So I'd say, hope not.
Like, is there actually a published rule book for any of these sports?
I imagine there would be.
Yeah, you can't put sellotape on cricket balls, dude.
Sandpaper you're thinking of.
I would know.
I mean, probably can't put still. It's probably just
you can't because that ball.
You can't tamper.
It would smooth. It would smoothen the ball swinging through the air.
Mm. Yeah,
stuff like that.
But yeah, like there must surely. I wonder if it's like this ancient document that they're like
the sacred
that
text.
It's protected, or if it's just like there are.
This sounds like an Earbud sequel idea.
Yeah,
and then like if it's this big sacred text that's stored somewhere, like the base. I can imagine like the baseball one will be like written on parchment or whatever,
stone tablets,
and then in the late 90s they were like, okay, we need to add this, dogs can't play, and then chip it into the bottom of it.
Sweet as. So Alex, if people want to check out your wonderful content, where do they go?
Jeez, they can find it at www.kiwifootball.co.nz.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a various drop down for the Rose Ed podcast. I doubt there's crossover between our audiences. likewise, I'll give Cult Popture a plug the next time I do.
Oh, very good.
We do our one.
Cool, cool. Okay, well, thank you very much for listening, everybody. We're not going to do Franchise Roulette this week because, as I said, next week we are covering the 5 Air Buddies films.
7
Air Buddies films.
And I'm not.
No, you're not. We're hoping to get a different guest star on for each.
It's hard enough to find one guest star.
Yeah, yeah. So are we confirmed for Air Buddies? Do we have a confirmed guest star for that?
Yeah, he's watching them.
Sweet. Cool, cool. So tune in for that next week. And if you liked Cult Popture, you can find us on Facebook and YouTube and Instagram and where else are we?
SoundCloud,
iTunes. Or you can email us.
Come see us at work.
Yeah, you can email us.
Email
us first before you come see us at work.
Yeah.
And that's it. CultPoptureMedia@gmail.com. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. And have a
Puppy New Year.